This is the Jabberjaw Podcast Network. Visit JabberjawMedia.com for more shows like this one.
What does a real man smell like?
White privilege.
White privilege. The new fragrance from Tim Lambesis. Smell like prison sex wrapped into a fresh buttered croissant.
White privilege.
Your senses will taste the manly boob sweat with the aroma of icy hot.
White privilege.
From the makers of Kerry King's Mud Butt Cologne comes
white privilege.
The new fragrance from Tim Lambesis.
Available in the back of Chris Frog's X Lamborghini and select Hot Topics.
This is the Metal Sucks Podcast with your host, Brandon Hahn, and Petter Spych.
Wow. You're supposed to back me up.
I was supposed to back you up.
I was supposed to go ha ha, and then you were going to go ha ha, and then I was going to say ha ha.
But now you did all three.
You just fucked it up.
I did fuck it up.
That's what you did. What's going on, guys? It's the Metal Sucks Podcast back again. I'm your host, Brandon Hahn. I'm always joined by my other co-host.
Petter Spych.
Well, not my other co-host.
Your only co-host.
My only co-host.
And who are we interviewing this week, sir?
We'll be interviewing Mina Caputo from Life of Agony.
That's
they got
right.
A brand new album dropping April 28th, A Place Where There's No Pain. We'll even be playing a single off that.
Yeah, A Place Where There's No More Pain.
No More Pain.
I know it's just a word, but
okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
Right.
No, that's me. I typed it wrong.
Yeah, you typed it wrong.
Sorry about that.
No, A Place Where There's No More Pain. So there's going to be some pain. Just not as much.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
So the opening commercial we heard there, this new fragrance by Tim Lambesis, White Privilege, he's calling it.
It's a good name.
What do you think?
It's a good name. It's very appropriate.
So as you know, we haven't talked about it yet, but Tim Lambesis has been, he got out of jail.
Right.
Serving less than 3 years for attempting to kill his wife.
Now, what was the whole story exactly? He went to hired a cop,
to kill his wife. He's flat out said, yes, I want her dead. Pleaded guilty. Obviously, there's probably some sort of plea deal for him to plead down guilty, which is what always works out for people these days is these plea deals. So he gets 6 years for, you know, attempting to kill his wife or hiring a hitman to kill his wife, which is a pretty fantastic deal. Well, he only served half of that. Got out of jail before Christmas this year. I think it was even maybe before Thanksgiving, but I think it was before Christmas. And now everybody's kind of like just found out about it.
White boys, man.
That's right.
Just despicable. Well, what upsets me about that is, like, is it the fact that he's got money and he's got fame? If you got money and fame, it's a wrap. Now, I'm not saying he's got oodles of money. It's not like he's got Nikki Sixx from, like, 1989 money. But
interesting example.
But
he was rich back then. Well, Dr. Phil Goodyear.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm just letting
you
know.
Went back
because that was when you could make a lot of money in music. Now it's
it's because I think Vince Neil did kill somebody and got off. Right.
Right.
That's the correlation I was thinking. But dude, yeah. I mean, I think these kind of like penal system things happen all the time, though, where if there's good behavior, they just get people out like at a very, very early age. Now, nobody knows the details of like his parole, his probation, what he has to do. You know, obviously, we're assuming he's not allowed to contact any of his victims and all those things. So, but he is, however,
any of his victims. His ex-wife?
His ex-wife.
That's pretty much
well,
it.
And their kids. They got the three kids.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Like I said, I don't know the details. I'm assuming he's not allowed to.
How do you bring that up? By the way, I mean, one of these days, the kids are going to want to meet their dad. You would assume, right? Maybe. Like, I just want to see what he's like, and then the first thing out of Tim's mouth is like, "Yeah,
well,
I tried to kill your mom."
He got a book deal as well. After this, so he might be able to explain all that, and the kids might read it. I'm not sure.
Hopefully.
Well, let me ask you this, dude. Would you buy a book if Tim Lambesis wrote it to tell you the side of his story?
No.
Okay.
I don't give a shit. I already know what happened. He tried to kill his wife.
I wouldn't either, but
he
got a book deal from someone.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. It's not like OJ, if I were to do it. You know, what was that?
It is like OJ, if I did it.
No, but he's actually admitting it, though. He's like, here's what really happened. So anyway, when I said kill, I really meant like, you know, stand-up comedy kill. Like, I just wanted to make her laugh really hard.
I just wanted to kill on stage.
Right? I just wanted to kill that shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude. I mean, so like I said, someone got him a book deal, you know, and
it's like when you're having sex, I knock the bottom out of it. I mean, it's like you use these like dirty words, like these hardcore words to get your point across. Maybe it just got lost in translation. Like, I want to kill my wife. Maybe that means something like...
This is what happened, if I may break down the audio for you. I believe this is... And I'm going back a couple of years when this went down. But he gave a guy $1,000 that, he met through the gym. And then he said to...
met him through the gym.
He found this guy through the gym. So,
like how you do your butterfly your butterfly presses. This guy looks like he knows how to kill a wife.
So I think he was just telling everybody at the gym if they knew a hitman. So somebody, like... called the cops. They set him up. It was a police officer at a Barnes and Nobles.
Do you trust a squad, like a fucking a spotter? You know what I mean? Like, hey, I'm about to throw up this 250, bro. I need your spot. Hey.
He has an IQ of 160. So obviously, you know, he's smarter than us with this plan, right? So anyways, he then goes and meets up with this
What's good IQ? Yeah.
I think like 110.
110. 110 and he's got 160.
Oh, bro. You put me on the spot. I don't know what good IQ is,
I'm just letting you know.
Did you ever take an IQ test?
Maybe. I'm pretty sure I did once in a while.
You were above 100, I'm sure.
Maybe I was, yeah. Hopefully.
I'm not going to Google it right now, but I'm thinking like above 100 is like okay and average, and then 160 I think is above.
Well, okay. When you're really smart, though. Like, mm-hmm. So if he does have a high IQ.
When you're really smart, you look for a hitman at a gym?
Why not? I'm just saying, hey, I like your parachute pants. Hey, do you know a guy who could, take out my wife with some piano wire or something?
I like your parachute pants.
Yeah.
I don't think people in the gym wear parachute pants anymore, dude.
Yeah. I like how you cut the sleeves off your shirt and then cut it all the way down to your ribs. Yeah. Show that.
I love that barbed wire tattoo. Yeah. Can you take out my wife for me?
Yeah.
I think we're all talking. You went to the gym in the 90s. I'm proud of you.
Why not?
Yeah. Right? So anyways, and then I believe that he went to the hitman. And then he said to him, he gave him $1,000 in the codes to get into like the house or whatever like that. And then when he walked away, he turned around and he said, no, just in case there's no any clarification here, I want her dead.
Oh, wow.
So he flat out said it.
Okay.
To the guy.
Like I said. So
he didn't kill on stage or knock the bottom out as you referenced it. He said he wants her dead.
Well, you know what's funny, though, is like when somebody... Usually when you see all the movies and stuff of undercover cops, it's like they have to catch them saying, yes, I want my wife, her name, the date.
Yes.
You have to get them saying all this shit. Yeah. You got to get it said. Like, you have to have them pretty much saying, like, nowadays, like, you have to have a video of him holding up today's newspaper saying, I want my wife, Cheryl Lambesis, or whatever the fuck her last name, or her name
Megan.
Megan, yeah, whatever. Yeah. I want her gone, you know?
Yeah.
And then
need semen.
Yeah. And then
somewhere.
The guy, yeah. And then meanwhile, the cop's like, gone. By gone, what do you mean gone? Do you mean murdered? Yes, I mean murdered. Okay. Yeah,
that's what he did to
him. But meanwhile, he didn't do that. I want to know how many times the cop tried to get him to specifically said, so you want Megan dead, right? Like 6 feet deep, dead. Like no blood circulating through her body, dead. Cold, dead.
And he would just say, affirmative?
Affirmative,
He didn't say that. He said it when he walked away.
Yeah, instead the cop probably, like as soon as he was opening up the door, the cop's like, man, fuck, we didn't get him. We didn't get it. And then he's like, oh, by the way, I want her dead. Oh, thank you.
It was like, jackpot, everybody come get him. Yeah. And then he got busted.
That South Park episode. Yeah. They said the one keyword to set in the feds, like stretch. And they just fucking.
Exactly. Exactly. So, and you did answer it earlier. So he is, and he's also, the amazing thing is he's getting married as well. You know, that's the second part. It's like, so.
Dude, that's not a deterrent.
No, it's not uncommon.
Dude, the
man.
Melendez brothers had women trying to fuck them. The one guy who tried to, the two people, they had the same name, but it was two different guys. They both killed their wives.
Mm-hmm.
And they had like a laundry list of chicks hitting them up that they wanted to bang, that wanted to marry them. They fell in love with them.
This girlfriend was his girlfriend.
Scott Peterson.
Oh, I got you.
Remember that?
The Lacey Peterson. Yeah, yeah. But the this has been his girlfriend while he's been in jail the whole time. So for 3 years, they're getting out here. They're getting married.
Sweet.
You know. Oh, we're going to play that?
Why not?
That's adorable.
Hey, man. Well, if you think about it, that's the sweetest thing someone could do for you.
I'm just fucking mad you put that clip on the computer. What the hell is that?
I got it ready for moments just like that.
I guess you
do. When you're talking about somebody that is waiting 3 years for you to get out of prison because you tried to murder your ex-wife, like, dude, that is a keeper.
Yeah.
That is somebody you hold on to forever.
You have no fear that he might try to murder you if he's not happy with
something? No, I'm not talking about coming from his perspective.
Oh, you're talking about coming from her
perspective. Yeah, like if I'm coming from his perspective and I'm like, oh my God, this chick wants to be with me. She waited 3 years for me to throw her some dick. And then You know, she's just gonna look past that whole murder my wife thing.
Bro, not I know you just got like really cute and vulgar, but I'm sure there's conjugal visits. It's just so you know, there's probably sex happening with prisoners and their mates.
Okay. Cellmates.
I could see some dick thrown in a cell.
Right.
So his life is
like,
back
honestly,
on track.
Honestly, what's the best thing that a chick has ever done for you? Has she ever waited 3 years for you to get out of prison?
Here's right the thing. I've never been to prison. I don't plan on going to prison, but I think my lady would wait 3 years for me to go to prison. Okay. Unless I did some fucking really, really heinous shit, like try to kill my ex-wife.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Like, that might be a deal
I want to see if you ever try to kill your ex-wife, and let's just see if your chick hangs out and waits for you. Like, she's a good chick.
Yeah.
Your girl is a very good chick. She's down for the cause.
I'm giving Lambesis his soon-to-be wife, I'm saying she's a good chick.
I see what you're saying. And you also have to have boobs thanks to all the steroids you did that backfired. Maybe she just likes to juggle them titties.
You know, I just...
You know, I've been waiting 3 years. I've been waiting three years to suckle on them male tits.
You're awful, brother. I love you.
Why am I awful?
I just don't think that sentence came out of her mouth in the vows.
I want to suck them male titties. Fucking yeah.
Get that clip off your fucking computer. None of that goddamn Dawson's Creek music.
All right.
On this
okay.
Show.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, it's okay. I guess the second part of that, as LA dying now, is all not in jail. They're not incarcerated. Woven Wars touring.
Shit, yeah, exactly. So if I try to kill my wife, does that mean Pete gets off, guys? So if you guys eat
do
off.
You think if, and I personally think
let me ask you this. You and I have been friends for over 20 years. You're like my best friend. If I tried to kill my wife, would you wait 3 years for me to resume this podcast?
No. Vice versa. I'm sure that I'd have to replace you. And then when you came back, then there's that tough conversation. 3 years? No, you'd be gone, bro. That's way too long. People's attention span's not that long. But there's not another Azalea dying. They haven't put out a record. So if he somehow gets the original guy, or I don't know if they're the original guys, but the guys in the prime time to do a tour, and they forgive him, do you think the fans will be like clamoring for everything's okay, we love you again, Tim?
I don't care about Tim. I care about you waiting for me, you piece of shit. You're not going to wait for me?
I would move on.
Fucking asshole.
Hey, don't try to kill your wife. You're the fucking asshole.
Oh, that's right, huh?
All right?
That old wife killer.
Your narcissism and Tim's narcissism, I see the problem.
Hey, that's what all lead singers have to have.
If I try to kill someone, anybody,
dude,
you move on.
All lead singers have to have some level of narcissism, okay?
Yes.
I'm the lead singer of this podcast.
I'll be a drummer.
No, you and I are both lead singers.
I'll be the Jordan Mancino of this podcast.
No, you guys are both, we're both lead singers. We're like butcher babies.
All right.
But with not as good of tits.
Not yet.
Start shooting up them roids.
So you would not support an As LA Dying reunion tour or album?
Oh, with him? No.
Well, it's got to be with him.
No.
I'm talking about with all the other guys, too, if they forgave him.
No, never. It's done. You tried to kill your wife, dude. It's a wrap.
Yeah.
No one should ever forgive you for that. I'm sorry. Here's what happens, okay? And it's not like right as soon as he gets out of jail and they're like, you guys wanted it. You got it. It's new. All the, you know, fucking, we're coming back. And then it's just as I lay dying, you know, just out of nowhere. Like, no, dude, it's
done.
Yeah. Like, there needs to be a cool off period. You know, like, you can't just get right out of jail and then you got to wait another 10 years for people to kind of forget what you did.
I mean, if that white privilege perfume like hits off that fragrance, he might not even worry about doing it.
Well, right. Yeah.
Anything, you know,
he's just making everybody smell great.
Yeah. You're wearing Kerry King's Mudbutt cologne right now, aren't you?
I
could smell it from
And you know what would happen if I were wearing Mudbutt cologne? I'd probably have to serve the whole 6 year prison sentence. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
when you're wearing white privilege, fucking put
you're
that
out.
On.
You're Bam, out in two,
you're out.
2 years plus.
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah.
Dude.
You didn't read me my Miranda rights. And fucking up. Sorry, got it. What? You know.
So the next story we're going to top off to move off of Lambesis. He got enough time. We did enough titty jokes. Attila, the wonderful band Attila. A fan got into it with the security guard, which happens on show. I believe the security guard was hitting the fan. There's a grainy video where I don't see what's going on.
Okay.
But pretty much the guitar player of the band jumped down there and they start fighting with the security guards to protect this fan.
That's pretty cool.
Which is punk rock, right? And
dude,
then,
dude, that's how you end up getting a following, by the way.
You know what? That's just it. Cause this is one of the, you know, this band, I don't understand why anybody follows it. I think most of the people that listen to the podcast are like, I can't believe, you know, Attila's popular, but then the crowd just chants suck my fuck while they're fighting the security guards, which is even more cooler, right? Just to have that chant.
No, that's a little more confusing.
Suck my fuck. That's a thing that I think he says. That's how
suck
good rhyme.
My fuck.
That's how good rhymers they are.
You can't suck a verb. Like sucking is a verb. Dude. That's like suck my walk. It doesn't make any sense, dude. Dude, it's stupid.
I know, but the whole crowd's chanted it. Yeah. Suck my fuck. Suck my
suck
you
my
can't
fuck.
Suck a verb.
Wow. I'm sorry. Dude. I'm not gonna I never judge anybody for their musical taste unless you're a juggalo. Like that's the only time I judge.
I have a feeling Attila is definitely going that route, man.
Well, when you come up with saying suck my art, fuck.
But, yeah.
Like, when you come up with suck my fuck, look, if you got everybody to chant, you know, suck my, and then, you know, a noun or something,
a
just
noun?
Make sure, yeah, make sure there's something in there. Suck my ruler. Suck my suck my pencil. Whatever the fuck. That makes sense. But suck my fuck. You just say, you know, you just sound like an idiot.
Bro, I agree with you 100%. But if you were in the crowd and everybody was screaming suck my fuck, would you just stop and say, hey, there's two verbs, or would you chat with them?
I would go,
penis.
I would just look at him and go, what? Let's go. Well, especially, now granted, if you came up with that, if you came up with that phrase.
Like, I believe they have a shirt that says that on the back.
Okay, right.
I believe they sell a t-shirt that
says suck my fuck. That means one of them said, guys, I got this great idea for some merch. Tell us. Okay, suck. One of them's like, I'm already interested. Wait, let me finish my fuck. Oh, my God. We're going to be so.
Print it.
Print it.
Print it. Small, medium, triple XL. Let's make it happen. Get the big sizes in there.
Yeah, please. And then all of them just like chanting it at the same time. Suck my fuck. Suck my fuck. That's going to be so cool when we beat the shit out of a security guard.
So you feel, and that's, I guess, the conversation we're going to have here. You feel that a band's responsibility, if they see their fan getting beat up, is to come down there and physically hit the security guard or stop the show and be like, don't do that again. Cool it down. Like, there's just a lot of ways
there's
to do
it. There's a better way, because here's the thing, man. Like, as you know, like, the pack mentality takes over.
Mm.
Okay. So when the security guard is getting the shit beat out of him by not only, but he's fighting with a fan, and then the band jumps in there and starts wailing on the security guard. I mean, that right there just kind of adds to the folklore of the band. You know what I mean? It really does.
Yeah.
Because now they're like, dude, we got a guy that's going to fight for us. You know, like that's how these fans are feeling. But if somebody could have, I mean, that security guard could have died. I mean, you don't know. Like, there are people out there that are going to take it too far.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I think as a band, I personally don't think a band should ever jump off stage and fight a security job.
I don't think,
you know, I think they should stop the show. I've seen bands stop the show and be like, dude,
I remember one time I was watching Iron Maiden, and this guy was beating, he was like thumping on this chick, like hitting her, you know, and then Bruce Dickinson.
I was on that. Yeah, I was there with you.
You were
man.
There with me. Bruce Dickinson stops the show and he's like, hey, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And he gets security to get him out of there. Right?
And he didn't even finish Run to the Hills. They stopped the song, went to the next one. I was sad about that.
Right. But all I'm saying is, though, is like, you could do that. But again, the only thing that especially when it comes down to like a band intervening, you know, and taking the fan side immediately. Like, what if the fan really was like just punching a chick? What if he just wailed on a chick and just punched her in the throat or something?
No, dude, when the lights are on stage, you're on stage.
Yeah.
When the lights are on, can you really get a good view?
You can't see shit.
You can't see shit.
You can't see shit.
It's blinding to
you.
Yeah. So I do believe in that point too. But to move on, since we don't want to spend too much time on Attila.
No. Suck my fuck.
You brought up Iron Maiden, right?
Maiden.
You brought up Bruce Dickinson.
Yes.
All right. Well, in Bolivia, a dad and mom had the courage to name their child Iron Maiden.
Love it.
Love it, right? So, but then I was thinking about it. Like, what if this child grows up and, like, hates metal, right? What if this kid's, like, not into it?
So, in other words, it's almost like when you have, like, two conservative parents and their kid grows up to be liberal, right? Is
yes.
that kind of what you're saying?
Because he's got one of the most metal names of all time.
Yeah.
So now it is the
most metal name. The only other name that I could think of that is more metal than Iron Maiden, like Iron, what's his last name? Is it like a, you know?
It was like a dude, I didn't write it down, but it was a like Diaz Quadros.
Diaz Quadros.
Dude, I made it up. It was a hyphenated. I remember that part.
Okay. All I'm saying is
Iron Maiden Diaz Quadros. That's the name for the show.
The only
name
that's more.
Fuck. Move on.
The only name that's more metal than Iron Maiden Diaz Quadros. The only name that's more metal than Iron Maiden.
1040 or something.
Yeah. The only name that's more metal than Diaz Cuatros is Anal Cunt Diaz Cuatros or something like that.
Jesus Christ. I thought you were going to say like Black Sabbath.
No.
You're going, Anal Cunt.
Anal Cunt is honestly, I'm not saying they're the most talented, but that is the most metal name in metal. Anal Cunt.
I don't think you should name your kid Anal Cunt.
I'm not saying you should. You shouldn't name your kid Iron Maiden. You shouldn't name your kid Briscoe County, like
hey,
some people I
hey,
know.
Hey, hey, hey.
Okay.
The listeners don't know.
Well, now they do.
Okay.
To the listeners that don't know.
I'm proud of my kid.
To the listeners that, you should be proud of him. I'm not saying, you named him asshole. It's not like.
Me and the wonderful Sarah named him.
Okay, yes, exactly. The one that would stick with you.
If I try to kill
your ex-wife.
Yeah. Well, see, the thing's weird is because I'd be trying to kill her.
Well, she's not your wife yet.
Okay.
Will be.
Yes.
I'm assuming.
100%,
probably.
100% good assumption. 100%. Go ahead.
100% good assumption.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is, though, is, you know.
I named my child.
You named your child. It was your idea because you've been holding on to this name forever.
Yes.
Pete named his son Briscoe County Spike.
That's my kid's name.
Briscoe is his first name. County is his second. And Pete loves metal. And he swears up and down Briscoe's going to be a metalhead. And he's going to raise him on metal. And you already see him
rocking
out.
Dude, I see him rocking out, dude. We're listening to the new Overkill recently, and he just flails his arms. There's a Creator DVD. He's just he loves the metal, dude.
Yeah.
He loves the metal.
I don't know, dude. You know? I don't know. Something tells me it's going to come back to bite you in the ass.
But if the Iron Maiden kid grew up and loved gangster rap, that would hurt the parents' feelings,
That would hurt
right?
the parents' feelings.
Oh, dude, it would hurt my feelings, too,
well,
bro.
Well, guess what?
What?
Your feelings are about to get hurt.
Why?
Because Briscoe already hit the recording studio.
You talking about my son?
Yes.
He's 15 months old, bro.
He signed with Death Row Records.
What?
I'm telling you.
You got no proof.
Here it is.
What?
Just got out the pussy and I left that shit in stitches. Just was born, already scooping bitches. Take what I want, just because I can. You won't say shit. Look how cute I am.
Your son is fucking gangster.
That's his voice.
That's his voice. All right, here's some more.
Don't pinch my cheeks or else I'll fucking snap. Slap you with a poopy diaper, then I'll take a nap. Came into the world and I got more guns than teeth. Shot the doctor in the face, tried to jack my weed.
Don't touch Briscoe's weed. Don't touch Briscoe's baby weed.
Wow.
Yeah, are you disappointed yet? Oh, here's more.
No stems, no sticks, just that sticky icky. Bitches get wet for my 9-inch baby dicky. I may be a baby, but that don't mean I'm soft. I put Gerber on your girl's titties, then I suck it off. Smoking weed to catch a buzz, then I watch the junior cuz. Briscoe County is so rowdy, hook me up with formula. What?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, what do you think
Briscoe
about that?
County.
Now, actually, what I understand, though.
Call me a bitch. So he's mad at me already.
Well, you know what? He's just rebelling. That's just what kids do at one.
You know,
all
he really says right now is dog and papa. But somehow he's got a rap career. He's rebelling against my metal.
Somehow he's pissed off that you've been holding him back. He's trying to find his own individuality.
I don't like him talking about his dick on the fucking podcast.
You mean his 9-inch baby dicky?
I don't want to talk about.
From what I understand, Briscoe wanted to get into metal, but it took too much practice and dedication to become a musician. So he became a rapper. So that's pretty much what happened.
Well, he's young, dude. We can bust him out of that. All right. The county needs to get back into metal.
Guess what else I caught county listening to?
What's that? Dude, I would like to slap you. Why do you have that on your computer? Is that in your iTunes?
Well, because I don't have it. I have it queued up. I have it queued up ready to go.
Who pulls the Dawson's Creek thing out, bro? It's adorable. Anyways, okay. Okay, so my son's a gangster rapper now. So if Iron Maiden becomes a gangster rapper, they would feel just the feeling that I have in my stomach right now.
But everything would be in Spanish or Portuguese.
You know what sucks is that my kid was pretty good right there.
Yeah.
He rhymed.
No, he was on point.
I mean, no sticks, no stems. I mean.
No sticks, no stems.
Just talking about people taking his weed?
Straight icky, you know, no sticks, no stems. Just
said something
straight
about Gerber
icky.
On someone's titties?
Yeah,
what?
That's how he rolls.
All right.
And it's not just some girl's titties. It's your girl's titties. Not Briscoe's mom. He's probably talking about me. He's probably talking about putting Gerbo on my wife's titties and sucking them off.
Well,
yeah, okay.
Yeah, I can see how just because you name your kid a certain way, I can see how they're going to go their own way.
That's what happens.
Dude, Iron Maiden, that baby needs a love medal. That's all I got
to
say.
Have to.
We have to just completely make that Bolivian kid nothing but metal.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
God
and same
him.
With the county. The county needs to go back to metal and stop doing this Death Row Records
crap. He's probably going to hit you up with some more raps one of these days. He loves the rap.
Well, we'll see.
Right.
We'll see if in the comment section if someone wants to hear more Briscoe County raps.
Hey, look, all you got to do is stop shoving metal down his throat, and then
he
maybe,
won't rebel.
Yeah, and then he won't rebel.
Well, at least any dubstep. So.
It's just like
I can be positive about everything.
Well, I mean, it's just like hardcore Catholic. You know what I mean? Where they just beat that into their head, and
he could probably join Attila right now with those rhymes.
Right.
They're better than suck my fuck, and he actually made some sense. I know he's 15 months old, but I mean, I don't want my kid in Attila.
He's way too gangster.
He's way too gangster.
Suck my fuck. God damn it. Anyway, though, what else?
The next thing. All right. Next story is Arnold Schwarzenegger. Okay. He said Nickelback sucks. And then Nickelback had the courage to tough guy the Terminator and come back and say, you suck because you did Batman and Robin.
Okay. That was a dog shit movie. And I got to give Nickelback credit.
You've got to be shitting me right now.
Dude, first
Nickelback can call out Schwarzenegger for sucking?
Yes.
Because of Batman and Robin? What about the Terminator, bro?
Terminator.
What about
awesome.
Terminator 2? I know. What's Nickelback done that's awesome?
I'm not saying awesome.
Okay, what are you saying?
Don't
play that Dawson's Creek song to save you. What are you saying? Nickelback's done some good shit?
No.
Wait, no.
I'm not saying that.
You like that new single, hon? What's going on here?
All I'm saying is if somebody throws out an insult, you give one back to them. Right? So you're like, all right, you did Batman and Robin.
Okay, so...
And you also did Last Action Hero, which was a colossal piece of
it
shit.
It wasn't as bad as Batman and Robin.
No, it wasn't that bad.
Okay.
But still, shitty.
But what you're saying is that by you saying, your mama, your response can be to me, my mama.
Yeah,
okay?
Your mama.
That's not okay. Especially when Schwarzenegger is talking to fucking Nickelback.
Suck my fuck.
I don't want to do that.
You don't want to suck my verb?
I don't want to fuck anybody suck. I can't talk like this. The rhymes. Anyways, so you feel that Nickelback can attack the Schwarzenegger?
Well, I mean, I'm not saying that justified.
I feel like
it's like you're right. Arnold Schwarzenegger has contributed to things that helped me grow up. You know, like,
and good things.
He's Terminator, Predator.
Predator.
Eraser. I liked Eraser.
Dude,
that was good.
You're missing one big one.
James Caan. Red Heat.
I mean, there's true. James Caan?
James Caan was in Eraser.
Oh, yeah, he was. Oh, my bad. I thought you meant James Cameron.
Yeah,
I thought you were talking about True Lies or something. Anyways, but he's
True Lies was dope.
It was dope. He made a bunch of great movies.
It was awesome.
You know? I mean, and all that stuff. T2, obviously,
right.
Is going to be the one I think that's going to withstand all the time. But the point is that Nickelback's done nothing.
Okay. Well, I'm not saying they've got thousands of fans all over there. There's plenty of people on this planet.
We got thousands of fans.
Not Nickelback fans.
They got millions of fans.
I know they have millions of fans. So I'm just saying they've obviously made music that spoke to people.
And now their fans are Attila fans.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Is Chad Kroeger going to jump into the audience and beat the shit out of a security guard? Doubt it.
Highly doubt it.
Yeah.
He's Canadian.
Right.
I just don't think Canadian people.
They're just going to, instead of suck my fuck, they're just going to be chanting like a Nickelback line. They're like, what was on
I know,
Joey?
I don't have one either. Yeah. I was thinking of one. I was like, what's a Nickelback line?
What was on Joey's head? What was on Joey's head?
Is that a Nickelback?
No, it was a part. There's a line in one of their songs. Because, you know, I work on the radio station. So
I do. So you have to deal with a lot of Nickelback.
I have to deal with a lot of Nickelback.
Yeah. Well, anyways.
Think about that.
So are we going into our interview?
How you remind me? What?
Stop thinking about Nickelback songs.
Okay,
moving on, dude.
Go ahead.
Okay, so interview time, right?
Yes.
So we got to talk to Mina Caputo of Life of Agony. If you guys haven't got into Life and Agony, they've been a staple for a long time. It's their first record in 12 years, guys.
Yeah, April 28th, A Place Where There's No More Pain.
Is when it comes
out. See
how
I fixed it?
Yeah, and their tour starts April 27th. I know that's like 2 months from now, but jump on the Amazon, pre-order this thing if you guys got a chance, and all that stuff. So anyways. Yeah.
Without any further ado, here's Mina Caputo from Life of Agony.
Metal Sucks Podcast here with Brandon and Pete, and we have on the phone Mina Caputo from Life of Agony. Thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Life of Agony, you guys called it quits back in what, 2011? Was it when you guys called it quits the second time?
Dude, we called it quits like 20 times already.
I know. I was trying to keep up because the last time I saw you guys was, it was in 06 out here in Vegas. It was like, I saw you twice that year, Gigantor, and I think it was with Mudvayne. My memories right. So and then after that you guys did tour for a while, but then when did that kind of progression stop, I guess? Hello?
I don't know, maybe when I think maybe when I came out and and I fucked with everyone's masculinity. I think maybe we all just took a break or something. I needed a break from everyone and everything, and you know, but the band, you know, the band, we've been together over 25 years. Yeah. I think February 11th was actually our 27 years ago on February 11th was our first show. So, like, we've been together. I've been with these guys since I'm 16. I'm 43. And we're all in our 40s. And it's just like, you know, being in a band is having, like, three husbands or three wives.
Right. Yeah.
It ain't no easy. It ain't no joke. It ain't easy. It's not this glamorous lifestyle that everyone imagines it to be or pretends it to be. A lot of hard work, a lot of pressure. I wouldn't necessarily call sacrificing, because if you feel like you need to be sacrificing for something that you love doing or is your passion, then you're mixed up with your passions. Just my personal opinion. But, you know, we put Oasis to shame. You know, so it's like, you know. But, you know, we're still maniacal and crazy in our own little creative ways, but we're not like in our 20s and 30s and experimenting with fucking crazy drugs and fist fights and punching each other in the face and breaking up the band and then getting back together. And meanwhile, there's 10,000 kids out there waiting for us to hit the stage. You know, it's
that's actually my next question. I wanted to ask, like, after you guys break up, how do you guys get back together? Who makes that call?
Is there a mediator in
the
band?
Well, the most recent time, it was our agent. And my agent actually called me asking if everything was cool between me and all the band members. And I'm like, well, I haven't spoken to Alan and Sal in quite some time, but Joey's my cousin. And whether great things are going on or bad things are going on in between the band, we're always subject, you know, at like holidays or family get-togethers. And but over the years, my cousin and I, Joey, we've learned to pretty much, if things weren't going exactly, not exactly the way, you know, nothing goes exactly the way you want it to, but if things weren't you know, if things weren't smooth in the band or whatever, we learned over the years to not bring it to the dinner table, or like we learned to emotionally detach. So you know, we would just have, now it's like more like than ever. It's very effortless. And you know, we don't take it so seriously as much as we used to. And I think that's why so many beautiful things are effortlessly being offered to us, because I think the band has finally reached a point, collectively and individualistically and spiritually and emotionally and psychologically, where we don't give a fuck.
Right.
We ain't interested. You know, we're not playing no fame game. Been there, done that. We've played with the greatest fucking artists a band could imagine. We've played with Bowie. We've played with Arrested Development, the Foo Fighters, Bjork, Modest Mouse, Megadeth, Metallica,
Sabbath.
The Pixies, Ozzy, fucking Korn, Deftones, you fucking name it. The band's been around, has done everything, experienced a lot. You know, everything, there's always room for growth, and that's why we're still at it, because we love what we do. And, you know, we, so sorry to answer your question, my agent, our agent called us up a couple of years ago and was just like, you know, what's going on? Cat fighting or what? And I'm like, no, actually, we haven't even really been talking, you know? And one thing led to another. I gave the guys a call, and, you know, because we kept on getting these major fucking incredible offers, you know? Manson wants us, this one, they want us to play on the same stage, and, like, we were just, year after year, the offers were getting bigger and bigger with even bigger and better band. Kiss. We played with Kiss last year. I mean, really?
Right.
Yeah.
Some Brooklyn fucking kids, man, that, you know, that, you know, were really just, you know, taking a piss every weekend and writing some songs and not really thinking that we'd get this far, really, you know. Our expectations as teenagers were very, you know.
And when
let's make it through this chorus, you know what I mean?
Right,
forget
yeah.
about, you know, writing a full song. Let's try and finish this one song for the past month, you know what I mean?
Right,
so,
right.
Like, and I mean, it's all this big, crazy dream. It's beautiful. And it's even more beautiful because, you know, I finally stopped being a pretender and pretending I was, you know, one form of energy, you know, like, so things are just very open and very cool and very relaxed. And, you know, the band doesn't say yes to everyone and everything. You know, we're turning down offers left and right. We really want to do it right and our own way, the way we've been doing it.
And now,
you know,
back in the day, because you brought it up, you guys did come up with a lot of the metal and hardcore bands, late 80s, early 90s. That movement in, like, New York City was kind of a big one for the metal scene, like the Biohazards, Typo Negative, MOD, just to name a few.
Yeah.
But what was that atmosphere like back then? Was it more camaraderie or was it more competitive?
I think it depended on what bands you'd refer to. I mean,
so, like,
there was competitive cats, and there was cats that, you know, were just doing their thing, you know. Life of Agony happened to just do their thing. We didn't want to be a part of anything. We never set out to be a part of anyone or anything or any kind of scene. We were always interested in creating our own trend. And, you know, we were accepted into many different genres, metal, you know, hardcore, punk metal, punk rock, you know, you name it. There's a made up categories, I guess, for music every day, but we don't base it like that. We're just songwriters. You know, we don't, if anything, I think this band now falls into, especially with the new album, an adult alternative contemporary kind of hard rock metal, if that's the category. But, like, I think we're just writing great, great rock songs now, you know. And, yeah, Joey's got his sound. And just because it's these distorted, bone-crushing guitars, it gets thrown into this category of, let's stick them in there, you
right.
know? But
and you were
we never really felt like we belonged anywhere or never really tried to be that, really. You know, we'd rather
just be you.
We'd rather be the loners on the block, to be honest, than, you know.
Yeah, just got to be yourself. And you brought up the new record, A Place Where There's No Pain. Is Life of Agony's, it's Life of Agony's first in like 12 years. Was it difficult entering the studio after such a long layoff with the guys?
Say what?
Was recording the latest album, A Place Where There's No Pain, was it difficult getting back into the studio after 12 years? Or was it just, you know, smooth as sailing?
No, it's actually really fun and very, very relaxed. And we did pre-production for all the songs beforehand. Yes, lots of things changed, but they always do. You got to be open for that. But we were very, very relaxed. I think the one who had the most pressure was the producer because he was handling the four of us and, trying to suss it all out, but we were very, it was very, we gave each other a lot of space. There's a lot of trust in the situation creatively. We weren't on each other's back.
Right.
We weren't fucking we weren't suffocating each other. I mean, it was just more very relaxed. It was like, oh yeah, Mina's going into the studio. And, if you didn't come out until a month and a half later, but, no one's like dropping in on me to see the work I'm doing. They fucking know I'm going to deliver, And same thing, I think same thing goes with everyone. I think this was a very trusting, this was probably by far the most fun and the most open and the most trusting evolution of an album for this band. It was just very, very, very relaxed.
Right.
Yeah, I worked fucking hard. I was singing the record from in the middle of September and I finished in November. And I had two fucking tours in between, too. So I was like, I was on fire. I was super primed up. In fact, I had more energy then than I actually do now, but that kind of things are kind of just subsiding creatively. But I'm always doing records, before finish, 2016 was creatively a big year for me because I finished the LOA record. I released my eighth or ninth solo record in 2016 called Love Hard. And I have a side project called the Neptune Darlings, which is a very, ambient, experimental, classic rock kind of trying to redefine the origin of music with this project, which is very difficult, but it's just weird songs, weird takes on shit. Like this Lou Reed put on Bowie suit and Warhol suit, and it almost like, I don't know, I don't even know how to describe that, but it was big, very, lots of creativity in 2016 for me, and it just all primed me up for the whole LOA thing, and that went very, very, very well.
And you were talking about
pretty much blew away the guys, and I kind of blew away myself. I really feel like I was never this excited to be singing for tracking for this band as much as I was for A Place Where There's No More Pain.
And
I was very excited. Because I felt like I needed to make up for all the lost time and lost creativity that, I created a lot of turmoil for Life of Agony in many different ways. And in the studio level, I just felt like I that wasn't a pressure. I just knew in my heart and in my intuition that I was going to accomplish this. But I did feel like, this was a makeup record for my boys, for all the lost time, for all the lies.
Well, and it was the first record where you were able to be yourself. You were brought up earlier in the interview that you went through some obvious personal changes, and then now you're with this band, you get to be you. You the way you're describing the recording process, there was a lot of fun. It just sounded like, you could just let your hair down, be yourself. Did you feel like you couldn't be yourself before then? And then this is the first record where you could actually be yourself with your boys?
Yes. And it was amazing. And it just, I don't know, I feel like I fucking just dropped vocal bombs, lyric bombs, melody, harmonies, I just feel like there's a maturity in this record. I feel like this is really like the record we've been trying to make our entire careers, but never really hit the nail on the head. But I find I feel like we finally have the right nail to actually hit into the wall now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. It's just like, I don't know, like, I mean, we wanted to know, how did the metal community treat you after you came out?
Well, I had motherfuckers like Jose Mangin jumping out, like, right away, being like, yo, Mina, I got you back. I love your band, blah, blah, blah. There was a lot of people like that, but I remember Jose being the first one. I don't know. I'm not keeping score.
Right.
My friend.
Yes.
I don't really give a fuck.
There you go.
You know? I really don't care. If you don't accept me for my expansion, my expanding soul, if you can't appreciate that my consciousness is growing, that it's not enough for me to just be one energy, this male energy, that's not what we are. My entire life, I honored and worshipped the feminine. I knew in my heart as a child that there was this feminine energy that needed to come through. And yeah, nature is freaky. Did everyone forget that we're actually these mysterious fucking creatures? That we're not textbook living? I mean, a lot of people are dying rather than living, and they're not taking their chances, and they're keeping things real safe, and they're not appreciating their private selves. That's why the gays and the transsexuals, they're all hated and frowned upon, like in all these institutions that are created for men, because it challenges the status quo. You know, life is this diverse magic. The fact that people aren't going on and on and on about that we're floating in perfect proximity on this mysterious planet is just driving me nuts. People keep pushing and talking about things that they don't want, like Trump as president. Well, guess what? The universe gave you exactly what you were feeling. I don't want this. I don't want this. I don't want him to be my president. Guess what? All these morons pushed him into power. And please, you know, I don't believe in our political paradigm. It's been dead for over 100 years. It hasn't allowed humanity to progress in the longest time, and that's not what politics are designed to do. You know, it's but my point is that, you know, people they can't live with their private selves, and that's why the people who don't accept me, or, you know, don't ever think I'll be a pretty girl or a real girl or this or that, those are the people that can't deal with their private self. They can't look in the mirror. They can't spend time alone. They can't appreciate the mystery of what we call life and death.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So you got all these people, you know, and all these institutions, all they do are basically, They keep you further, they derail you and disconnect you more and more every day from the true reality, the nature of our beings. And the nature of our beings are very complicated. And there is no right or wrong answer.
You're right about that, you know? Because like it's amazing that the people that display the most hate, the ones that are the most vocal about hatred, usually are using love to back that hate, and then they end up confusing themselves. I mean, look at the Ted Haggerty, you know, situations like that, where he's over here saying that, you know, gays are evil, transgenders are evil, and then he ends up getting caught in a motel with meth, smoking
Wait,
meth. Yeah.
Just let me go further. All these lawmakers, these motherfuckers in the judicial system, they're the first ones who will put a male to female transsexual in a male prison cell, or the church will call us abominations and this and that and blah, blah, blah. But meanwhile, when these politicians get caught with an eight ball up their nose and a dick up their ass, it's by a fucking ladyboy, and it's by a transsexual, or it's by a gay guy that loves to suck dick for cocaine, maybe in Vegas, probably in Vegas.
Right, exactly. That's, no, what, we're no, that's what this teasing. City was built on.
I'm teasing, but, you know, all these cats, all these hypocrites, this motherfucker, this governor, whoever he is in North Carolina, creating all this havoc on a fucking simple deck. If these people in law, if they actually traveled and became well-cultured human beings, they'd realize there's bigger and better solutions for this whole bathroom problem. You just follow what Denmark is doing, follow what Sweden and Finland. They got bathrooms all, whether you go into a McDonald's or you go into a supermarket. Let's just say, for an example, there's 10 bathroom doors. There's a male and female on each door, and there's a lock. And that's simple. It's, yes, yeah, it may cost a, problem is no one wants to spend money in America.
I don't even think they
want to make things to keep us like fucking farm animals.
Yeah, I don't even think it's
so
a money issue. I think
bathroom setups, you know, but if they actually traveled, I posted a picture on my Instagram of a bathroom. We had to go. We were in Sweden. The only places to go for a bathroom was on the side of the road. It was like McDonald's. So we see, and I'm like, this is such a simple solution. If only America, if only North Carolina, and all these assholes that all they're doing, see, this is what I'm saying. Our institutions, even the media, all they're designed to do is separate and create even a wider gap.
It's divide and conquer.
In what we call the human race.
Yep. It's divide and conquer.
That's all they're doing, is creating trouble, religion, you know, everything. It's just this constant charade, this constant game to keep humanity separated, not only from each other, but most importantly, from themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you're not going to tell me what the fuck is going on in my body and in my body's mind. And yes, nature is fucking chaotic. And if you can't deal with the fact that I'm both and I'm neither and I'm a lady boy and I'm a lady and I'm not afraid and I will bully the bullies and I will punch you in your fucking face if you touch me, like... I'm sorry, I'm going on a rant.
No, we like that.
We like that energy.
Yeah. We like that passion. You know, and that's all it is. That's all it is. It's just divide and conquer. It's just try to keep everybody from joining forces and taking down these cocksuckers. It's pretty much what, you know, is the whole
And they just want to keep humanity afraid.
That's it.
Yeah.
They want to keep humanity afraid of their own fucking shadow is what's going on. And that's why when you have these people that are living by the book, these living by the book motherfuckers, they look at someone like me and they're like, what the fuck? As if, like, do you even realize you're floating on a planet? There is no heavens up there, you morons. We're already in the heavens. We're floating on a fucking rocket ship. Since when did the world forget how majestic and how beautiful and how open and how there are no rules and regimens? And it's just fucking bullshit, man. It's just like all these institutions. So just to keep to like shorten my very long fucking answer, it's like I don't give a fuck who thinks what, who says what. That shit don't bother me. I'm so past that. My level of confidence and self-acceptance is I have more power than fucking 5 million men on this planet. So because I'm aligned, I'm plugged in, I'm connected to my heart, my soul, I I'm at peace, man, you know?
So many people need to hear this message. So many people need to hear your message. Yeah. Do you ever have anybody come up to you and thank you for at least, you know, giving them the kick in the ass to follow their dreams, follow their heart, you know, follow their do what their body is telling them to do? Do you have anybody that you have inspired that or that has ever walked up to you and said that you inspired me to become this person?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. I have people writing me every day. I have gang members wanting to sleep with me. I have fucking band people in bands and rock and roll that you would be blown away by the openness and the support that I get from just so many. I have parents that are Life of Agony fans for two generations that have trans kids, and I'm writing with them, and I'm sending them book references that they should be reading to open their mind. They don't know it's not taught. Nature is not taught. Hence why marijuana is fucking is ostracized every day. Meanwhile, this plant, it's not a drug, it's a plant. This plant reveals you to yourself. That's why they don't want nature on the market. That's why mushrooms, DMT, all the beautiful fungi that open the doorways of perception for us. These are magical fruits from the gods that they put us on Schedule 1, but they keep alcohol legal and cigarettes and you know, they don't care if you run over a family. It's better for business. Please, you do magic, you do 3 grams or 5 grams, a heroic dose, you're laying on the floor for 8 hours and you've just saw more art in your mind and in your spirit, and the ancients have shown you more art in the past 6 hours than man has made in the past 500,000 years. Okay? And that's why shit like marijuana and psilocybin and peyote and everything of the Indian man and the red man and all these ancient these really beautiful ways of contacting higher self and the ancient self and the origin of self. They want us to remain ignorant of self's purpose, of self's dream. And that's to have fun. That's to experience joy on the planet. That's to experience all the beautiful physical manifestations that human beings are capable of doing. That's what this is all about. Yes, we're vibrational beings, but we're here on the planet to enjoy the physical. And part of enjoying that physical is to create materialistic manifestations. And I'm talking about, don't confuse the two with mindless consumerism and stuff. Because, you know, that's an evil thing too. In our this whole idea of consumerism is a big sell in our system. It's not working. And okay, I'm confused. I confused myself into a corner of a fucking wall. So next question.
Mina, you're fine. So
sorry.
No, you're killing it. I just want to put like a Hans Zimmer score behind you while you're talking because you're like inspiring me to go do some shit right now.
I was thinking John Williams, but you can go with Hans Zimmer. So just to put this out there, the new album, Life of Agony, A Place Where There's No Pain. It comes out Friday, April 28th, 2017, guys. First one in 12 years. I know you said earlier in the interview, Mina, that you were like, yeah, we're not in a genre. You guys are kind of hard rock, hardcore, heavy metal. That we need you in heavy metal. We want to put Life of Agony in the metal community. We want your genre to be
Yeah, we're
us.
Drafting you.
All right?
We're drafting
Life of Agony, so we're going to call you heavy metal.
I know. We're going to save metal, too.
Why not?
We're going to save them.
The best lesson, though,
no,
Mina?
But thank you.
You're very welcome.
And I don't mean that. I don't. Please.
Yeah.
I hope none of you listeners take me wrong, and it's not a stab at the metal community.
Oh, no doubt.
Not at all. I just, you know, to me, metal is is Metallica, is Megadeth, is Flotsam and Jetsam back in the day, is fucking Obituary. Like, that's real fucking, I don't know if we could be, if we could wear that badge.
The lesson, though, the lesson in metal is don't give a fuck about what other people do and be happy.
And you totally
and
embrace
you totally
that.
Totally embrace that, Mina. And your lyrics do. I've lived with the record for the last week. I mean, it's great because they actually gave me a PDF file with the streaming, so I actually read the lyrics before I even listened to the songs, you know? And like I said, you embrace it wholeheartedly. The band does. You guys really bring it on this record, like you said. So it's April 28th, though. It's a while ago, so people have short attention spans. We got to remind them. Because we're going to play this like next week. But anything else you want to plug or promote before we...
I'm glad you guys love the record.
Oh,
that's,
yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you. I really do believe it's a beautiful album. It's definitely one of those records that you're just not going to stop learning from it. You keep hearing things. You're going to keep... Every listen, you're gonna peel back the layers and the layers and the layers that have been added on this record, vocally, you know, guitar-wise, all the different interesting creative loopholes we've created for the listener. And Matt Brown, I have to say, he was definitely a fifth member of Life of Agony for the album. I do not think we would have been able to accomplish this record without him. So lots of love and big ups for Matt Brown. And I hope, you know, I'm sure people are going to be knocking down his door to get some, you know, to get his audio engineering and creative power. He's just amazing. He also produced it to Sal's band, A Pale Horse.
Oh, yeah.
And Sal made that suggestion. We had a couple of offers, but we were trying to stay very far away from the predictability of the business. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we're very kind of unorthodox. We're very, you know, we're kind of like, we're happy in our isolation in a way. It's like, no, we don't really want to record in L.A. because everyone's recording at that studio. No, thank you. You know what I mean?
Right,
it's
yeah.
Like, we're very,
That never made sense to me to go record somewhere that's not home. I think home brings the best out, the comfort. I don't know, but that's, like I said, that's a different conversation. I go someplace new and
strange. No, I happen to agree.
Yeah.
You know, I think, we visited several, we recorded at several different studios, but we didn't keep it at one place to kind of like go out of your fucking mind, you know? Like, I mean, I recorded all the demos at my house. Before, you know, I basically sang the record twice, you know. So, like, when we were file sharing during the pre-production phase and studio and stuff like that, I had to basically sing everything and layer shit, and just to give the boys an idea of how alive the song could actually be. And then it was a long process, you know. For me, especially, I think, but
and it paid off. So you know, I'll tell you.
So sweat. It just.
Yeah.
I walked into that. I walked. You know, whenever I had my special mic collaborations all set up wherever I was set up in whatever studio, I walked in so overprepared, where it was just like. I was listening to demo stuff as a reference, but being like, yeah, it was great for that time, but you know what? I'm going to fucking take it here vocally. And it was just like, oh my God, like a song like Walking Catastrophe. I don't care who says what. Like, because I get the stupid questions like, since, like, you know, you're living like as a girl and you're taking hormones and you know hormones are going to change your voice and stuff like that, aren't you, like, afraid that you're not going to be able to sing anymore? It's like, shut the fuck up. Like, really? Are you crazy? Joy is the ultimate fucking, you know, kicking the fucking ass.
Mina Caputo from Life of Agony. The new album comes out April 28th, A Place Where There's No More Pain. And here's the title track. It's the Metal Sucks Podcast.
Sucks Podcast.
It's unfortunate that we even have to say Black Lives Matter. I mean, if you go through history, nobody ever gave a fuck. I mean, you can kill black people in the street. Nobody goes to jail. Nobody goes to prison. But when I say Black Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter, that's like if I was to say Gay Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter. If I said Women's Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter, you're diluting what I'm saying. You're diluting the issue. The issue isn't about everybody. It's about black lives at the moment. But the truth of the matter is, they don't really give a fuck about anybody if you break the shit all the way down to the low fucking dirty ass truth.
We say that black lives matter, but truthfully they really never have. No one ever really gave a fuck. Just read your bullshit history books. But honestly, it ain't just black.
Fuck! they know they'll sue their ass. They can tell who the fuck was. Unfortunately, black or brown skin has always meant poor. They profiling you, kid. They know you can't fight back, but we about to.
Investigators say they all reviewed body camera and dash cam video of Tuesday's shooting. Police say that Keith Lamont Scott did have a gun in his hand when an officer shot him. A new picture of the scene shows something in Scott's cheek. A source tells our Charlotte affiliate it may be a gun, but people in the neighborhood say that the father of four was holding a book instead.
Officer Vincent was in plain clothes when the shooting happened, and he was not wearing a body-worn camera, but we are told that three other officers wore theirs. The department is under increasing pressure to release police videos from the shooting, but the police chief says he will not do that right now because of the investigation.
Don't fall for the bait and switch! Racism is real!
All right, we're back.
We're back, dude. So the second song there, guys, we had to play was the new Body Count song, No Lives Matter.
We wanted to play.
I wanted to play it, but like I had all these other songs that I was going to play. There's a new He Is Legend, all these things that came out this week. But that song has been stuck in my head from one listen continuously. So I'm like, dude, they did something right here. It's angry. It's got all the right stuff. Because I personally, I mean, I don't have any Body Count records. I'm not a fan of Ice-T. But that song really stuck with me this week, so I think a lot of people are going to dig it. And then before that, obviously, we did play the new Life of Agony song.
Dude, that guy is busy, by the way, Ice-T. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, not he raps about these streets, running these streets.
Yeah.
Then he acts in...
I just said I don't follow Ice-T. No, but I know he's in SVU.
Yeah. Law and Order SVU.
Which just makes him so likable.
And he does. And then, you know, he takes time with his kid, reminding him how important it is to have your queen... Your side bitch and then your nasty freak, right? Yeah, because I mean, when you're raising kids, you got to make sure you point that stuff out. I mean, you got to point that out to Briscoe. Let him know.
Sounds by his rap song, he's gonna let me know.
Yeah,
okay. So I don't know nothing about that shit. But anyway, so we played the Body Count. And then lastly, before we do sign off, guys, we did have the Metal Sucks Presidential Candidate for 2017. You guys, your choices were, if you haven't heard, Dave Mustaine and Phil Anselmo. And we had an overwhelming majority decision for 2017's Phil Anselmo. So yeah. He is our fucking...
Not 2012.
No, not 2016.
Not 2016 or 15.
2017
reformed Phil Anselmo.
So he will be... when we have the tough questions, we're going to have to go to him and see his response. But he did actually have the nice enough thing to kind of send us a clip of him thanking us. So let's play that real quick.
Penis.
No, I'm kidding.
Not it.
Officially, thank you. Letting you know... first and foremost, a big thanks. But thank y'all once again. Love you. Go Saints. Go Super Joint. We'll see you.
That's it.
All right.
All right. Well, I guess he accepted in a way. Go Saints. Football season's over.
Go Saints. Go
Phil.
Super Joint.
Yeah. Super Joint's still active, so we're good there. So anyways, that's it, guys. So we will be here next week. And
that's it. I'm Brandon Hahn.
I'm Petra Spice. Don't suck no fuck.
Metal Sucks Podcast will be back next week. See you guys later.
The Metal Sucks Podcast is signing off.
This is the Jabberjaw Podcast Network.